verses. These are the words of our Lord Jesus speaking here. Very, very short time before His death. Indeed, on that night before He was crucified. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Amen. We'll end our reading right there. May the Lord's blessing be upon this reading of His Word. Well, as you can understand, we deliberately come to this particular theme and statement of our Lord, I am the true vine, on this Thanksgiving Sunday. Now, who in British Columbia could be a stranger to the analogy of the vine? Certainly in the Mediterranean, the vine is one of the most common, well-known plants and pictures that conjures in the mind the very scene of bountiful, plentiful production. Of course, the climate is very important to produce the right grapes. And in the Mediterranean in Bible times, the vine is as old as Noah. Goes right back to that period immediately after the flood, after the devastation of the world. One of the earliest forms of horticulture is the planting and the production of the vine. Now, I don't want to get too deep in this today. I want to keep things very straightforward. So I've come up by way of introduction, a little acrostic on the word vine. V for vitality. That amazing profusion of foliage and grapes from one little root and stalk. And I'm forced, you've all seen it here or there, and you can see whole walls draped with the leaves and foliage of one vine. And there is that life. This is the picture, of course, of the Lord Jesus. One Savior, and yet many believers worldwide, generation after generation, one Savior. And out of that life, which is in Him, comes the whole church, innumerable, multitudes of every nation and tribe. The eye is for the inward life of the vine. It's quite remarkable that from one root system there is a sufficient supply for that foliage that is massive and the abundance of grapes draping and hanging from that foliage. There is, through that, especially in the winter, seeming dead, mangled wood, veins that supply the sap, the juices, the nourishment that brings life to all of the vine. In the Lord Jesus, there is veiled in his flesh an inner life. He is the God-man. He is more than a human being. He is God in the flesh. And in him there are infinite resources of grace. His life is all sufficient for your soul, for your burdens, your cares, your vigorous growth, and for every believer wherever they are, one Lord Jesus to provide every need of every soul. The end brings me to the nourishment. The ability of one vine to supply multitude of branches with life-giving food is, of course, its wonder. And all through some of the most slender little tendrils on the vine, ever so slim, you can pinch them with your finger and thumb, if you don't have a pair of scissors with you, to get the grapes off the vine. They're so thin, so fine. And yet, there is nourishment that comes to each and every one. In every grape, the juices, the moisture, is an amazing supply. And so with our Lord Jesus supplies the need of your soul through the weakest faith, the littlest faith in the Lord Jesus. We are united to him, of course, by personal saving faith. It seems so weak at times. It seems so slim in comparison to other ideas. And yet it is that faith that brings into your soul all the fullness, all the blessedness of the living Lord Jesus. E is the effusion of supply. It can bleed and bleed and bleed and yet supply the vine. Our Lord Jesus, out of one life, there flowed precious blood. And that blood shall never lose its power. By his Spirit, life is guaranteed to each believer and grace to supply every need. Now, there's the analogy. Jesus said, I am the true vine. What did he mean by saying he was the true vine? That's really what I want to get to today. That he is no empty vine or false hope, but he is the real fulfillment that men, women, boys and girls each need. Do you want to have your heart truly satisfied? Do you want to really live real life? Then Jesus is the true vine. So firstly, let's do this. Let's realize we need to identify the true vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Now the Lord insists that he is no false hope, that he is the fulfillment of this type and this picture, this analogy of the vine that is given here. But the world has many false Christs. The world has many who pretend that they will supply the spiritual needs of souls. They are like that poisonous vine which Elisha's servant, when he was told to gather for the stew for the prophets, and when he gathered in these wild vines, discovered that there was death in the pot. And there are false religions, and those who are looking to a false vine, but they are death to their souls. They are not truthful. They are not genuine. So we need to know how to identify the true vine. The true vine is known by the fruit which he produces. You'll notice in verse 2 a very, very specific and careful treatment on this. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now notice who is doing this. Who's doing the taking away? Who is doing the purging? It's the Lord's Father, the husbandman. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So God is insisting upon good fruit, real fruit. He will not tolerate dead wood. And where there is dead wood, it will be cut away and cast into the fire, as we see in verse 6. Where there is those vines that are not producing aright, or they straying off in a wrong direction, getting out of shape, they're trimmed. They're trimmed off. He will not tolerate these things. God sent his Son to save a people who would be peculiar, holy, and separate from sin. And that's the fruit that comes from this true vine. Now, the branches in the vine are known by their fruitfulness. As I said, dead wood is taken away. Those that are falling down into the dirt are cleansed or trimmed off. And verse 3 shows the spiritual meaning of this. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. There is a work done in the hearts and minds of real believers by the word of the gospel, by the word of God, the Bible. And God takes these truths of the Bible and shapes your mind, shapes your life. And God the husbandman insists on fruit that is in submission to the Word, to the Bible, the Word of God. Now what is the application of this for our time? As the Lord was speaking here to his disciples, speaking to believers, how are we to take this in our congregation? Well, there's one thing for sure, that where you find a congregation of people delighting in the Word, delighting in the Bible, and obeying its commands, there the true Christ abides. There is the true vine in the midst of that people, shaping them through his word, living by his commandments, delighting in his truth. There is the true vine. Contrarily, where you find a people that only want entertainment, they only want the ways of the world, they want to be fed in carnal things, that's not the true fruit. And whatever leader or vine they are looking to is not the true vine. And so where people make a profession of Christianity even, they may even make a profession of some evangelical faith, but where there is no fruit, where there is no love for the things of God, they are not united to the true vine. Look at verse 10 and verse 14 on this. It says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And verse 14, ye are my friends if ye keep my commandments. So we conclude from that, where there is no interest in the word, there is no relation to the vine. Now that might be describing your heart right now. It might be someone who's looking at their watch saying, could this sermon be over quickly, please? Let's get away from this teaching out of the Bible. I have no interest in this. My heart has no desire for this. Can you claim to be a branch united to the true vine? Are we such a church? How can we answer this? Disciples of the true vine bring forth much fruit. That's just inherent in all of what's said here. Bringing forth much fruit. What kind of fruit is this? Translated now from vines and fruit and baskets of fruit and so on into real Christian living. What kind of Christian living are we talking about? Well, if you look at verse 12, you'll see one of the fruits of the Spirit. One of the fruits of a soul, a person, who is a branch living, drawing life from the true vine, the Lord Jesus. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. There will be love for the brethren. Christian fellowship, a zeal for God's people, a love to be amongst and to be included and to be involved in the fellowship of the redeemed, a real new delight to be in the presence of another Christian. Now, if you're saying, I fit in better at work with the ungodly, I fit in better going to the entertainment places with people who love sin than I do here today in God's house, let me tell you, you are no part of the vine. Whatever you're looking to, you're not a part of the true vine. Because the true vine brings forth the fruit of love for the brethren. Now this becomes a real checklist of your heart. Another fruit, of course, becomes humility versus pride. This fruit that loves to be amongst brethren is the servant spirit. The desire to lift up and encourage a brother, sister in the Lord. Did you come to God's house with that desire today? Do you seek to live in the fellowship of Christians with that aim to serve? This is fruit. Fruit that comes from being a branch united to the true vine. And then there is joy. Look at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Here's a great test of whether we be united to this vine. Whether we have the life of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, flowing into our life as the branch receives from the stalk of the vine. Joy. A sense of victory and a thrill of being related to the living Lord Jesus. Joy. There will be a spirit of praise. A delight to lift up your heart in thanksgiving because the life of the Lord is flowing into your life. Another fruit, I would say, is the life of prayer, abiding. Now, 10 times in these immediate verses, the word abiding or abideth appears in these verses. It's a key word in this passage, abiding in the Lord. It's another fruit. Are you a man of prayer? Do you even take a few minutes per day to pray? Do you want to be amongst God's people in prayer? That's the fruit of the true vine. And that's where you see a people in prayer. Where you see a church that is a praying church. The true vine is there. They're related to the true vine, and they're living his life. So that's the identity or identifying the true vine. We now come to see this, that we need the power of the true vine living in us. Living in us. Look at verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. The life of the vine in us. Now here is this twofold aspect of our union to the Lord Jesus. We're to abide in him, but notice he abides in us. And then verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him. The same bringeth forth much fruit. Now it is our responsibility to abide in the Lord Jesus. The word abide simply means remain in union, in contact with the vine. But the other part, which is wonderful, as we are cleaving and in union to the vine, his life flows into us, just as in the vine. When that branch is still attached to the vine, however slender the branch may be, it enjoys the inflow of life from the root and the stalk. All the sap flows in. And so that should be your Christian living. The enjoyment of the indwelling of the Lord in your life. And this is a great picture of Christian living. In devotion with the Lord by faith. As you believe, as you read your Bible, as you pray, you're abiding in him and his life is flowing into you. Did I say in this series that Christianity is not about rules and regulations, it's about relationship with a person. It's all about being united to a person. And here is this teaching so clear. Christianity is not living by laws. It's not living by a code book. It's living in union with the Lord Jesus so that his life is flowing into yours. And you're enjoying his spirit, his grace, his power in your soul. That's what we're told here. Now, to put a bit of context to this, when the Lord said these things, he was saying it to his 11 disciples. If you go back to chapter 13 and verse 30, you'll find that Judas was out of the picture now. On that night, after Judas had received the sop, immediately went out. It was night. That's chapter 13, verse 30. Then in verse 31, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And it was on that night, after Judas was out, that the Lord began to say, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die, rise again from the dead, and I will be with my Father. But I'm not going to leave you. I will still be with you. You will not be left alone. This is not like the branches all getting cut off from the vine and they're left to live their own strength. This chapter is teaching that while I'm going to be gone from you, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And that's what chapter 14 is all about. Chapter 14 is about the Holy Spirit. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And if you look at chapter 14, verse 16, let's read these verses, please. Chapter 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide. There's the word abide again. Notice that. He abiding with you forever. No separation there. And while the Lord physically would be taken from them, there would, by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit sent in, there would be communion, fellowship. And as you read down these verses, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, the ungodly, the unconverted person, knows nothing about this life. this inner life, this communion, this living in the vine. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. And look at verse 17, the latter part of verse 17. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, do you think that the disciples could understand all that? I don't think so. This was too deep, too profound, too unusual to having the Lord Jesus with them everywhere they went. 3 years with the Lord. So the Lord took up a teaching tool, the analogy of the vine and the branches. And after the doctrine of chapter 14, he comes in with this word picture. I am the vine, ye are the branches. This is the need for the indwelling of the Spirit. Now here is the answer to all our struggles in the Christian life. Here's the way to know power, to enjoy the Christian life. This is the very essence of Christianity. Christianity is a person. And as much as you are abiding in him, enjoying fellowship with him, living in his presence, depending upon him for every need in your life, you live as a Christian. The more you get away from him, the more you depend on other things, the more you try to do it in your own way, your own strength, you live less as a Christian. Until you have to get the pruning knife to bring you back into shape and to be depending again totally on the Lord as your vine. That's the Christian life. And he comes to dwell within, to supply our every need. You see, the Lord did not save you, making you a Christian, to be an empty shell. The Lord did not purchase your body to leave you an empty house. He purchased you by his blood. He bought you by redemption to possess you, to live in you. That's his purpose. That's his longing. Now these vines, as we know, come in many varieties. And if you look at vines today, you'll notice the black variety. There's red, there's green, there's some that are almost pale enough to look very white. And then the nature of the stalk dictates the nature of the fruit. Now the Lord Jesus is the true vine, the perfect vine, the God-man, holy, sinless, and blessed. His life in you will produce true fruit. Not a spurious kind of fruit. Not a different, odd kind of fruit. And so we wonder how anyone can profess the name of the Lord Jesus and bring forth sour grapes. It can't be true. If there's bitterness, if there's nothing but criticism and hatred and division in your heart, that's not life coming from the true vine. The true vine produces true fruit. And so we need to realize that all of this is contrary to real Christianity. Now we would have to conclude that the more, this is a matter of degree here, the more of the indwelling of the Spirit of Christ is poured into the believer, the more he will conform and show forth that life. In other words, pray a little bit, you get a little blessing. Pray a lot, and you get so much more. Read your Bible just a little bit. Yes, God can use even one verse in your life. But you spend time in this book, abiding in his word. And what will you discover? You will discover that he will dwell in you accordingly. You will receive more and more of his life flowing in you. And that's why it's so hard to live the Christian life in our culture. Because our culture is against free time, downtime, quietness, meditation, prayer. We have a culture today of fast track. Some houses, the television's never off, radio's never off. Everything is just abuzz with noise. What does it produce? Very little abiding in the Lord. And we end up with weak, sickly branches that bear weak, sickly fruit. Abide and abideth is to be a constant, regular, continual union and fellowship with the Lord. That brings me to the last part. We need the mandate of the true vine. You'll see that mandate in verse 1, to honor the Father. In verse 8, to produce fruit for the Father. And also verse 8, raising up disciples to produce fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. We are not only called to be faithful, we are called to be fruitful. If I may share with you something of the burden of the week of prayer that we have had as ministers and elders of our denomination, there has been a lot of soul searching about the reason for little fruit. Why we are not seeing souls saved in any numbers. There are some. Why we are not seeing church growth across our nations as we would like. Why it takes 10 years for young men planting churches to get to viability. It's been a lot of soul searching. What fruit is your life producing? Has God used you in a singular way to bring a soul to faith in the Lord Jesus? Now, I know we don't believe in the mass evangelism and the techniques and the programs of slick marketing techniques, but I'm talking about living in communion with the Lord so that you, by your testimony, others want to know about your Savior. They want to know about your Christian life. It opens up opportunities to speak of the Lord Jesus. That's the fruit I'm speaking of. Bringing them along to hear the gospel and seeing them won to Christ. Getting our prayers answered is another area. Praying and praying for those things for a long time and not seeing them answered. Whereas we're told that if we abide in the Lord, we will bear much fruit. Here's the need. Here's the real need. Now, I think one of the problems is that we are so quick to aim for fruit that we don't aim at abiding. We are so quick to jump for the profit that we don't work and labor in the place that God has ordained to produce good fruit. What is the way to produce good fruit? Abiding in Christ. Living as a branch. Living on the vine. Enjoying life in Christ Jesus. And as we live, enjoying His life flowing in us, the fruit will come. The fruit will be natural, the result of our abiding in the Lord. But if you are so hasty to go straight for the fruit and do not be patient for the abiding, there'll be nothing. I know that Hudson Taylor, the missionary that was out in China for a considerable time, looked at his own life and the fruitlessness that he saw in that missionary work. Was challenged over this very portion of scripture, this very analogy the Lord Jesus gave. And his life was changed and revolutionized. And he was made fruitful. Because he learned that his aim and object should not be going around seeking converts first. But his aim should be have a life abiding in Christ. And that opened up a new chapter in his life and service. I wonder, has this a message for us today, as a church, as individuals? that we've been so busy working and doing and trying to accomplish this and that, that we haven't been abiding and waiting and praying and allowing the Lord to pour His life into our lives, and thereby we have little fruit. I include myself in this. Have we been sinfully busy, active in all kinds of things, but have neglected to pray and abide in the Lord? And thereby we've missed the joy, we've missed the love, we've missed the fruit that flows from His life in ours. This would be a blessed Thanksgiving Lord's Day if this was to change our focus and to say we as a church for the next month or even for the rest of this year, we're just to cancel every activity outside the church. Cancel every activity to reach other men beyond us and to abide in the vine and have the Lord flowing into our lives, His life, and then the fruit will come. He's promised it. It's the way the Lord works. What am I asking for? I'm asking you to slow down. I'm asking you to take on nothing extra in your life that you can put this in place and abide daily in your own personal devotions with the Lord. Give yourself to the prayer ministry of this church. Because if we are the true branches of the true vine, we will be a praying people. If our prayer meetings are empty and there is no spirit of prayer going up, how can we claim to be branches in the vine and then go and witness to the world to come and believe in our Jesus? Doesn't make sense. Only when we're living in the fullness as the people of God can we go out and seek to win the lost and invite them to know our Savior. So I'm asking you to aim for abiding and let the Lord take care of the fruit. Spend time with your Lord. And don't stop praying until you sense in your own heart life flowing into your soul. Don't go through mechanical devotion and say, well, I read that little reading for today and I said my little prayer for today and that's my daily devotion. Pray until you can say, I have felt the Lord ministering and strengthening my soul. That's what the aim is here. The aim is to abide, to receive life from the vine. If we feel there, there will be no fruit. Take this to heart today. And may this be the beginning of a real harvest, an abiding harvest of much fruit, that our Father may be glorified. That's the mandate, that we may bear much fruit. But we must aim at abiding, and then the fruit will come. May the Lord speak on and use this in my heart and in your heart today.